Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
This is Todd Tomasella, and I think we have Travis Bryan on the line. Is that right, Brother Travis?
Yes, sir.
Wow, beautiful. Couldn't be more perfect timing. Absolutely incredible.
We have the cross, the centerpiece of our message. Not just that Christ died for us, but we died with Him. That's our focus. And we're carrying
Amen.
That message all over the community and also to the world.
Yes, indeed. Beautiful, brother. It's interesting you mentioned Brother Matthew, because I believe what happened was Brother Matthew found an article, a post that we had on the website called The Laid Down Life. Probably one of my more anointed writings or something, if there are any. But I was in infancy form in that particular doctrine, and it was such a blessing to get to know you through Matthew and learn so much more about the daily cross. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the blessedness of having our brother Travis Bryan on the line here today for this short 30-minute program, is that we're going to get a dose of the cross that possibly many of you have never experienced. And we pray that God will make this a revelation to us, the importance of it, and clear our minds in understanding it. Brother Travis, you know, you like to use the term, and I love this, and that's what I titled today's show, because I use this term regularly now. It was branded on my mind the first time I heard you say it: the killing power of the Holy Ghost, brother. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I would direct the listeners to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, where in 10, Paul says, we always bear about in our bodies the dying. That Greek word is necrosis. It is the death process of Jesus. We always bear about in our body the death process of Jesus. This is a killing power of the Holy Spirit that works within our hearts to do away with our self-life, or the sin nature, or the flesh, which is really where we're centered. The natural man is centered in himself. And to lose that self-life and be replaced by the life of Christ. But that can only be done through the cross, the killing power of the cross. The cross and its effects are contained within the Holy Spirit. So that works internally. Then in verse 11, you have the external cross, which is us being delivered over to death, or handed over to death. That's handed over to adversity, opposition, people who rub us the wrong way, suffering, all of life circumstances that come against us that whittle away at that self-life. So those two forces working, one, it works within the spirit, and other, the circumstances without, bring us to the end of self so that Christ can fill our life and we can be made over into His image.
Personally, up until a few years ago, I didn't really know about the message of the crucified life as I should have known. So the message of the cross from the original gospel is now being spread by many, definitely on a grassroots level, because it doesn't sell in the churches, which are geared to collect money from the people. And so they're never going to preach the cross. So it's a blessing for us
to begin to see the cross all the way through history. What comes to mind, Brother Travis, is one of the prophets, Elisha or Elijah, he recovered the axe head.
Yes.
What did he throw in there? Is something thrown in there into the body of water?
He threw a stick in.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
through
and
a
that
stick.
And that represents the cross, doesn't it? Raising up.
Which raises up this aqueous that swim.
Incredible.
The fact is, going back to what you just said, Todd, the most exciting thing in the Old Testament to me is not the literal stories, and they are certainly literally true, but what you find underneath those stories in the types and shadows and prefigurements of the cross. All through the Old Testament, you have these foreshadowings of the cross and the resurrection. For instance, the flood of Noah, you have there a picture of the cross with the flood destroying the earth, but the ark, which is the type of Christ, being raised by the flood to the top of Mount Ararat, which is a picture of our resurrection with Christ and our being seated with him in heavenly places, Ephesians 1 and 2. These foreshadowings of the cross are all through on every page of the Old Testament. It's just amazing. The Red Sea is a type of the cross. The incident with Abraham and Isaac at Mount Moriah in Genesis 22 is a type of the cross, prefigurement of the cross. The situation with Joseph, where he is betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery and then unfairly treated by Potiphar and his wife and put in the dungeon, this is ascent. The cross is a message of descent, not ascent. We first have to get down, and he's brought all the way down to the dungeon and forgotten down there for years. But when the time came, he was raised up to be the prime minister and the most powerful man in the civilized world at that time. That's a picture of our resurrection and ascension with Christ and sharing with him the glories of heaven.
Amen. Brother Travis is talking about Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50, the last approximately 13 or 14 chapters. Absolutely fascinating study, impregnated with truth. One of the most poignant examples of going from the pit to the palace, Brother Travis.
Absolutely, but we have to see the value of being taken down to the pit. So we don't rebel against these events in life when they happen. We embrace the cross. We embrace our sufferings. We allow ourselves to be transformed by the things that happen to us. So many Christians believe that salvation is something we do. They give lip service to grace, but salvation is really something that happens to you. It's not something you initiate. It is the adversity that comes to your life, and how you respond to that is your part. Do you choose to embrace the cross moments of your life and allow God to work through those? Or do you rebel against the cross, resist the cross, get drunk or high to avoid the cross, run from the cross? There's all kinds of fleshly ways. And that's
evade
why the flesh
the cross.
Hates this message.
Yeah, the flesh does. In fact, we read in the end of Philippians 3 that there are those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, to echo what Brother Travis is saying here. We must not evade the cross, Brother Travis. We can't possibly be raised up if we don't go down first. Is that right?
You got to go down in order to go. You have to lose in order to gain. You have to be made weak in order to be made strong. You have to be afflicted in order to be comforted. There's all these paradoxes of the cross that the way up is down. And this, the natural mind has difficulty understanding. Only the Spirit can reveal this paradoxical, antithetical life that the cross brings us to.
John chapter 14, verse 27.
It begins with Jesus' word, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You've talked to me before, doctrinally, ministerially, and personally, about the importance of sinking down deep into the death of Christ. I remember talking to you one day after I had experienced a traumatic event, and you ministered to me, I don't know if you even remember this, but in terms of sinking down into an ocean, back to the floor of the ocean, that was absolutely incredible. I cannot remember all the wording of it, but I'll never forget it, that's for sure. And that really helped me.
The cross message is one of being willing to sink down, to let our selfish reactions, our ways of fighting back, our control of life, our self-preserving security ways, let all of those sink down into the death of Christ. We sort of dissolve down into Him. As long as we're striving to do it on our own, then the cross can't reach us. We must basically surrender. That's what Paul meant in Romans 12:1, which is the cross message in verse 1. He said, "Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice." This is the true form of worship, that we walk out into the world and allow these things to happen to us, trusting God to be our protection and not protecting ourselves. This is what it means to walk out into the world and to be a sheep among wolves. But our natural tendency is to be a wolf among sheep. You see, you have to lose that disposition and become a lamb-like person, like Christ in the world.
Now, brothers, it is a true saying, according to Scripture, that we should let go and let God.
Let go and let God. Absolutely. That is said so much, it's almost a cliche, but it is the Christian life. Letting go is the death part. Letting God is Him rising up in you and through you in power and life to live His life through you. So it's a sort of a getting out of His way and letting Him have control. But that's a scary thing for the human being to do, because we want to have our way. That's what suffering is in its most basic form. And I'm not here to glorify suffering, because suffering comes to us from the evil one, from Satan. I'm not here to glorify what he does, but God takes what he does and uses it for good. That's what the verse in Romans 8:28 means.
And verse 29 with it, right?
Absolutely. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
And then the next verse, interestingly enough, and again, this is part of me learning to look across in every scripture and every page of the Bible. The next verse is speaking about how we're preordained to be conformed in the image of Christ.
Exactly, and that only happens through our experience of the cross, our daily death with Christ. Paul said, "I die daily," is what brings us to conformity to his life. But we must first be, in the words of Philippians 3:10, made conformable to him in his death.
In fact, there's a scripture you pointed out to me a few years ago, brother. I want to quote it. It's 1 Corinthians 15:36. And I have to ask myself that, according to this Bible verse, am I a fool? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. So in order for the Lord to raise me up, to raise you up, to raise any individual disciple who's listening to this program up, that person has to wave the white flag. Is that right, Brother Travis?
Absolutely. To surrender. That doesn't make sense to the natural mind. The way to win is to surrender, not just to give up and quit and get depressed, but to give your life and your control over to the Lord. Until you do that, you're struggling against the Lord. But when you finally let go and sink down into Him, then He will rise up in you and manifest His life through you. And that's when the Christian life and all its blessings become real to the believer right there. Now, let me say, Todd, you referred to Philippians 3, the enemies of the cross. And the people that resist this message the most are the proponents of the Mosaic law. That was the case in the life of Jesus. When he lived the cross, they hated this. And they would constantly, I think sometimes he was killed because he ate with sinners. I mean, they were always on his back about something that conflicted with their understanding of the Mosaic law. And Paul, the same way. The proponents of the law dogged his heels all over that part of the world, trying to contradict him and pervert what he was trying to do. And they ultimately killed him. So it was the proponents of the law that opposed this message then and today. Because the law, you see, is all about me and what I can do to please God. And the cross says, no, the me has to die. And that's why the legalist hates this message, Todd.
Well, that's the belief that, and I think I've observed this, and help me out here, brother, that at the root of all our sins is pride and self-preservation.
Exactly. And of course,
I'm going to do it my way. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to say a little prayer, a little magical prayer that is going to fix that issue.
Religion is all about me. It's what I can do to please God, that I am better than someone else because I do this and they don't, that my church is better than their church. I do the sacraments and they don't. That is the deceptive thing about the law is good, and that seems to be where God must be, in the good, but he's in the cross, not in the good. The greatest.
So there's really no salvaging self. Yeah.
Yeah. Self can be enhanced, self can grow, and self can be dominant in religion. And that's the greatest hiding place for the flesh in religion.
Dangerous, isn't it, brother?
It really is. It's so deceptive. And
yep.
It has drowned out this message, Todd. Well, of course, really all down through the thousands of years, there has only been a thin red scarlet thread that has preserved this message down through the years.
At that, I want to say this, that brothers and sisters in Christ, I really want to encourage you to listen to the audio messages we have on the audio page on safeguardyoursoul.com on the cross. And this message
of the cross life,
if you're like me, I can tell you that I've never heard it.
That is, now that my eyes and ears have been attuned to this original gospel staple that's at the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Taking it right out of the Word of God. You know, what comes to mind, Brother Travis, I love this verse that really kind of harpoons this truth. The Lord tells us who his actual remnant are. In Isaiah 37:31, he uses that word, remnant. Now, this is as relevant for the New Testament believer as it is to anyone that applies. It says, and the remnant, keyword remnant, the small residue of God's true people among the many that claim to know him, the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. There's many things to say here which we can talk about, but notice this is of the house of Judah, and they shall again take root downward. There's somebody listening, and the Lord loves you. He's beckoning you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Jesus said, for I am lowly and meek in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Brother Travis, how do those two biblical passages meld together, the cross and the resting in Christ?
Well, the resting is found in the death and burial. That is where we stop striving, cease striving, be still and know that I am God. But being still is found in the death. We have to bring our selfish excitement, our selfish activities, all of our selfish thinking, our old identity has to be brought down into death, Todd. And then there is a rest that is an ignition of God's life in you that is not you supplying the power. So you're resting and working at the same time. Whereas before you were striving in your own power to do things for God, and it was not for by God. So there has to be a rest in the life of the Christian before there can be labor in the life of a Christian. And the rest is in the death. The labor is in resurrection power that God inspires you from within, motivates you, and gives you the energy to go in the direction he wants you to go, because you're no longer self-directed. You're empowered and directed by him.
Amen. You know, what comes to mind as you're explaining that, Brother Travis, is Hebrews 4:11. It's a paradox. It says, let us labor to enter into that rest. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Phrase.
Yes, it is. Labor to enter in the rest. That is a paradox. And then you have one over in Colossians that's very similar on this kind of thing. Let me find it here.
Chapter 3, verse 3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God?
Yes, that's a good one. But the one I was looking for is Colossians 1:29. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Amen.
That puts the focus on the one who's really working in and through us and not me working, but he's working. I'm just cooperating with his power and his activity within me.
That's absolutely beautiful. Philippians 2 comes to mind, where it says, verse 12 and 13, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't know about you, Brother Travis. I'm sure you probably have sensed the same rest and great joy to know that God is working in you. And when we're left to our own devices, as many years as we've been alive, each individual one listening, we should know how futile it is to live according to our own will, instead of like Christ saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Brother Travis, Jesus submitted his will to the Father just before the cross, and then on the cross he said, into your hands I commend or submit my spirit. Brother, what do you have to say about that?
That's a picture of the life of the cross, is that we give ourselves into the hands of God each moment of every day. And we decline to live out of self, to try to get ourselves down from the cross. That was a great message of Satan as the people walked by, mocking and hurling insults at our Lord on the cross. They said, get down from the cross. And, of course, that's Satan's message is, Todd, come down from the cross. Handle your situation yourself. You know, if you're strong, if you're a man, come down.
Boy.
And, of course, the great challenge is to choose to remain up there and to let God have the situation, knowing that
Absolutely.
He's going to bring good out of it.
Beautiful. Wow, there's so many things to be said about this glorious cross. As we close here, Brother Travis, is there an addiction that comes, if you will, in a good way, when we learn to put ourselves aside and let Christ reign? I know that the passage that we based this all on, that you were quoting out of earlier, it ends with verse 12 in 2 Corinthians 4. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You want to speak to that for about 30 seconds?
There is an addiction, Todd, and the more you apply this message, trust God with it, and learn the value of embracing the cross, it becomes instinctive. It's certainly not instinctive, just the opposite at the beginning, but the more you see it work, the easier it becomes to live it. And it is an addiction because you realize it's the only way, but it's an addiction to Jesus Christ, which is the only valid addiction there is. And it becomes your way of life. It's instinctive in every moment, every thought, every situation. Do I do always live it? No, I don't. I fail every day and let things make me mad, and I react in the flesh sometimes. But more and more, your life is transformed by this and changed.
I agree. In fact, personally, it's just something God has a much deeper root in me, as he's been teaching me and through his word and by his spirit, and largely through the ministry he's called you to own that cross, if you will. It may not be the right way to say it, but to embrace it instead of reject. And Father, in the name of Jesus, seal these words on every one of your children. Father, we ask that you break us and bless us to lay flat before you, to truly surrender, to be still and know that you, to say with Jesus, not my will, but thine be done, to resign ourselves unto thee, Lord, to truly be crucified with Christ, to truly say with Paul and agree that we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering gathering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.